Today is the last Sunday in Lent. This is Palm Sunday. This is when Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then all the over the next few days he is spending a lot of time in the temple with his feet up on the desk of the people that hate him and just calling out all the ways that they're all messed up. And at the end of the week, they're like, "We're gonna kill him. We're for sure gonna kill him." And they do. So Jesus is for sure not a victim. He is orchestrating all of these things, and he is in charge of every bit of this stuff. He is the leader of his own life, and he deliberately orchestrated things to lay his life down for us. But as we've been approaching this week, Palm Sunday and Good Friday and the Last Supper and Resurrection Sunday and all of those sort of things, we've been getting ourselves ready by talking about and thinking about, hopefully, what it means to have guts like God, to in the very intuition of our emotions, to be like God in our impulses. When we're squeezed, what comes out of us? Do we get angry at the things that God gets angry about? Do we grieve over the things that God grieves? Do we get frustrated over the things that God gets frustrated about? And tonight, we are going to end this series with talking about that Jesus gets tired, and you get tired, and what it is that we should do with that. So this is a lesson that I very much need. Because just like everything else that we've talked about, yes, we get angry and Jesus gets angry and whatever. We get tired too, and Jesus gets tired. But Jesus does different things when he's tired than what we typically do. And if we're followers of Jesus, here's kind of the tricky part. We think like, well, I like Jesus. I love him, warm fuzzies and all that kind of stuff. And we notice, and sometimes people point out to us things that Jesus does, and we're like, well, that's nice. It's kind of like nice for him. But that's not what it means to be a disciple, right? As a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, we notice things and are like, oh, man, I need to be doing that. Like need to, you know, doing that. That is like mandate. I see this in Jesus. I need to be doing it. And so when Nathan notices this and Nathan sees it, then Nathan needs to be doing this. And it needs improvement here. So we're going to look at two different times and two different places where Jesus is tired. And he gets tired a lot. He is... He's fully God and fully man, but he is pouring out energy all the time to people. He's got 3 years to save humanity and save the world, and he's on a time crunch. Like no one has been as busy as Jesus has been, and we're going to look at what he does. So the first place we're going to look at is Matthew 14. So the lead up to this is probably. One of Jesus's best friends, somebody that understood Jesus better than anybody else, was his cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. And right before this, John the Baptist, he had been captured by Herod, and he had been arrested because Herod married his brother's wife, and John the Baptist said that's wrong, and so Herod... arrested him for saying that, and then things got worked out where he ended up getting killed. And so that was really upsetting, right? When one of your very best friends gets murdered, you know? Jesus isn't cold or indifferent or callous to that or just zen over those things. He's upset by that when his best friend gets murdered, his cousin. So in verse 13 is where we're going to start. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, Jesus is trying to withdraw to a solitary place. The crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. And instead of cussing at them and saying, "Racka, racka, 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 I'm trying to get away from you. I'm tired of me, and whatever else." He had compassion on them. His soul is sick. He's tired. He's worn out. He's at his end, but he sees these people and he has compassion on them. And he healed their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." But Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over, and the number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So everyone has food, everyone's healed, everyone's taken care of, and then immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. "Hey, you guys go away," while he dismissed the crowd, and he dismisses the crowd, and he goes up on the mountainside to be by himself and to pray. So finally, he gets a moment to be by himself and to pray. And then the story keeps going, and it's good, and he walks on water and does impressive things because he's Jesus. Luke chapter 5. Verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy, and that would be any sort of skin disease. And that also ostracized you from people. It was typically painful sores, things like that, and it made you a social outcast. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, touched somebody that people don't touch, and said, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Now, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. So if you haven't figured it out yet, Jesus gets tired, right? He gets tired because he's putting out a lot of energy, and he's working, and he's taking care of people and tending to people and all those sort of things. That takes a lot of energy out of our souls. Also, he gets tired because bad things happen, and that drains you. Your friend gets murdered. That drains you. It has an effect on us. Life has effect on us, and it has an effect on Jesus. And then Jesus, there's something consistent that Jesus does with his tiredness, right? What is it?
Praise.
He prays. He withdraws to the lonely places, and he prays. What do we tend to do?
Take a nap.
Yep.
Get more irritated and angry.
I'm so tired, and I'll just keep on working and pushing through it. And sometimes that's the right answer, and sometimes it's not. Get snippy with somebody. I'm so tired. I'm stressed out. I'm worn out. I'm just going to spend a bunch of time with a screen or something, staring at cell phones or binge watching this or doing that or whatever else it might be. Some people, maybe you're not like this, some people that they really just can't stop. And so if they get really tired, they're going to go mow the grass, and then they're going to go weed eat, and then they're going to go chop logs, and then they're going to go do this, and then they're going to go do that. Other people, when they get tired, they're going to do like what I described. Like, "Oh man, I'm so stressed, I'm so tired." They're going to hide from life through screens or distraction or whatever else, you know. And then other people, like Sarah was talking about, like we just keep moving forward, and we malfunction, and we keep moving forward. You know, we yell, we scream, we get irritated, but we just keep moving forward, and parts are flying off, and we're not moving quite right, and whatever else. But that's what we're doing. And from the example of Jesus, we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to go to a lonely place, go sit by the creek, go take a walk, and turn our hearts to God and pray. And let God restore our souls. If there was anybody that knew how it is that we're wired and how our souls need to be restored, it would be Jesus. He didn't say, man, I'm really worn out. I'm going to go catch that show in town. You know, I heard there's a really great play that's going on. I'm really worn out. I'm going to go do this. I'm the savior of the world. I got to get it done. I can't take a break. He stopped. And he went to the lonely places. And he prayed. And he turned his heart to God. I don't know what your thing is. I don't know how faithful that you are in just following Jesus in this. And I don't know if that is your default to, like, you know what? I recognize that I'm tired. For whatever time that I have, I'm going to pull off and I'm going to go walk by, sit by the creek. I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to go to the lonely places and pray. And I'm going to let God refill my soul through presence of God and through nature. A time in my life where I had to learn this was I was literally breaking from, like, trauma stuff, and I got to and had to go on sabbatical, and I was probably to the point where I was very, very concerned that I was just going to, like, strip down naked and run around on the interstate and fling poo at people. Like every moment of every day was just trying to, like, not do that, you know.
It wouldn't be pretty,
you know. And one of the things that was just so healing to my soul was wherever I went, where I would just sit, and I got to go watch the ocean and just watch the ocean and take walks and watch the ocean and watch ships go in and ships come out and things happen. And it's just, and over time, God started healing my soul. And that stuff got inside of me. And it's still there, of, like, watching the clouds move across the sky day in and day out, wherever it was that I might end up being. Like, God made us to be healed in certain ways. And it's through nature, and it's through tuning our presence to God instead of distracting ourselves from God. We so often, when we are worn out, we turn ourselves towards everything else but the things that will heal us and restore us. So God's people, don't do that. Don't do that. Be like your Savior and withdraw to the lonely places and pray. Make that a part of your life. We kind of blew it this year. Usually during Lent, we give out these black bracelets to remember that help us remember the season of that we are in. That it's a time to take on practices that remind us of our need for God, and so that involves typically, like, more fasting or giving up this or giving up that or whatever it might be. And then right after Easter is the transition day to the season of Easter, and that goes for the next 49 days until Pentecost. So that's like end of, I think it's May 24th. And that's a time of the year where God's faithful people, we take on celebrations in our life, positive things in our life, deliberately to celebrate the goodness and the rescue of God. And so that's a time when we put on a white bracelet. And so we'll give those out on Easter, and I hope that you can be here for that. We're not here. If you guys are here, that'll be weird. We're going to be down by the river. But that's a time to take on practices in your life that remind you of the goodness of God. And maybe this is one of the things that you could take on in your life, is just withdrawing to the having a habit in your daily life or your weekly life of, I'm going to deliberately and plan on having time in my life to withdraw to the lonely places and pray. morning or evening or this or that. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to walk over there before I walk home at night or walk through the door or whatever it might be. Or when I get home, I'm going to step out into the backyard or this or that or whatever it might be. And just watch what God does with that.
This is.
But I'm planting. But whatever it might be. That's one of my favorite things that you say, Michael. Whatever that thing might be, take that into your life. Some of us, when it comes to like to austerity, we're like, yeah, sign me up. I'll fast. I'll struggle. I'll buckle down. I'll serve more. I'll give more. I'll do this. I'll do that. And that's easier for us. For some people, that's harder than for other people. Taking on the practices of celebrating the life that God has given us and the goodness of God is more of a challenge. So I don't care which way you're more challenged. Do it. Celebrate Lent. Celebrate the season of Easter. Take on those practices where you celebrate the goodness of God and you tune into God and who He is for you. And looking, setting your eyes on Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, way more important than you, and what He did. Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. So then the command is upon all of us, that we, the people that are writing about our life, if anyone ever did it, to be able to say, so-and-so often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. God made you for that. It's how your batteries are recharged. It's how your soul is renewed. So God's people, let's be like our Savior. Amen.